Psalm 84. It's quite beautiful, really. The psalmist expresses his overwhelming delight at being able to be in the temple of Yahweh in Jerusalem. He reflects on the happiness of those who make the pilgrimage to encounter God in God's dwelling place. The pilgrimage is physical, spiritual, and moral. So there's a lot of levels to this pilgrimage. I guess that's what pilgrimages are supposed to be anyhow. It's a physical journey they're undertaking to the temple, but it's a spiritual journey too, and it's a journey of repentance and behavior, moral journey. So the psalm opens very simply, "What a delight your dwelling place is, Yahweh of hosts." Hosts means the heavenly host. And keep remembering, they thought the stars were alive. Earth, air, fire, and water, we're a bit of a mixture. The stars are pure fire. So they were creatures of God, highly intelligent, spiritual creatures, looking down on the earth and keeping watch over it. That's how they saw it. Physically, that's not accurate. But because they're not living by what we mean by living, but that's how they understood it. And it's good to keep in mind. And Yahweh is the God in the heavens. Well, they're all his army. Wow. Praying this psalm, I suggest to you, Psalm 84, as Christians, we see Jesus as the new temple. Remember in John when he says, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up." And John comments, he was speaking about the temple of his body. He is the temple of God now. So, what a delight is your dwelling place. How delightful Jesus is, we could say, Yahweh of hosts. And they're abiding, they're present in the abode of the temple. Well, he's Jesus. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, well, obviously the Eucharist, it's not primarily talking about the Eucharist, by the way, it's talking about Jesus. But body doesn't mean physical. And blood doesn't mean physical blood, it means his body is everything that relates to us. The blood is the life that's poured out in love. You mums and grandmums and granddads and everywhere, you can pour your life out day after day. Well, that's your blood, your life blood that's poured out. So eating Jesus' flesh means nourishing our mind and heart and body on Jesus' human existence and life. And he's, well, if you do that and drink my blood, drink it in. And we do this in the Eucharist, don't we? In a ritual way, we do it in the Eucharist. The ritual, the bread is not changed physically and it's not changed chemically, it's changed metaphysically. It's the meaning is now different. We see with our understanding and substance. Can you see it's the same word? Substance, understanding. Substance, that's the trouble with, again, our words. If you talk about transubstantiation today, substance for us today means matter. What is the substance? It's egg white, or it's clay, or it's that's the substance. That's not what the church teaches. Substance in that dogma of transubstantiation means that which the understanding penetrates to, enlightened by faith. So prior up in the sacristy, you've got a piece of bread and you've got some wine, and that's all it is. And your intelligent mind understands that that's wine and that's bread. Simple. That's the end of it. When it's brought into the Eucharist and the body of Christ, which is us, in prayer, then when we give communion out and a little child says, "What is it?" I can no longer say it's bread. It's physically bread, it's chemically bread. But it's not metaphysically, it's not really bread. It's now changed, it's different, it's trans-substance. What our understanding, enlightened by faith, says is that this is Jesus giving himself, the risen Christ, therefore not a body like this and not blood like this, but the risen Christ is giving me his life, his poured out life, his love, his spirit, his dreams, his mission, you know. That's what we're receiving, isn't it? And that's what it is. And this, what was once, could be said simply to be wine. It's physically wine, it's chemically wine, you can prove that, and that's irrelevant. But when the understanding says, but what is it? Not what, not the species, not what it smells like, tastes like, looks like, weighs like, and is chemically divided into. No, but what is it? Now we say it's Jesus' life poured out in love for us, and that's what we're receiving in the Eucharist. And we're saying we are with, he is with us. We are in the body of Christ, and we come to the Eucharist and we're receiving the body of Christ, etc. Abide in me and I will abide in you. So, back to our psalms. What a delight, says the psalmist, your dwelling place is Yahweh of hosts. We see the church, we just talk about Jesus as the body of Christ. Now, what about the community? That's what community is. We are the mystical body of Christ. You, the church is the new temple. Look at this lovely statement from, I think, Paul's most beautiful letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2. You are no longer strangers and aliens. You are citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We mentioned that earlier. Those who keep the link with the historical Jesus and those who keep the link now with the present spirit of the risen Christ. With Christ Jesus himself as the angle stone. Literally, angle stone can be the angle at the corner, it can be the angle at the keystone of the arch. It stands for both or either. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. So when you walk into the church on Sunday morning, you ought to be able to say, what a delight your dwelling place is, Yahweh of hosts. Because you see all these wonderful people struggling in life and coming together to share their faith and their listening and their all of that. And that's the dwelling place. The building, but the people, primarily. Hebrews, talking about the assembly, the Christian assembly on the first day of the week. You've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. That's the description of Kippax community at 8:30 on Sunday morning, and again at 10, and then 6 at night on both Saturday and Sunday night, and wherever you come from, Gowrie or whatever church you're in, Page, that's your community. And that's what it is. Faith sees it as that. The ultimate dwelling, of course, is what we call heaven. Heaven's another name for God. In the presence of God forever and ever and ever and ever. Here we have 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know that if the earthly tent we live in, our body, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. We've got this lovely communion with God now, and that's the guarantee we'll have eternal communion forever. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Ascension, the Lord, Jesus, is with God, and I'm not yet fully with God, so we're not in the final temple yet, but we're in this temple and we're waiting to be with him forever and see him face to face and all the other images that you have for heaven. It's all there, and as we say that delight, we should be thinking, we can think as Christians, can't we, at all those levels of thinking. What a delight Jesus is, what a delight the human community is, and what a wonderful thing it'll be to be eternally forever with God in heaven. Augustine comments on this psalm. To them there remains nothing to desire apart from God. They no longer love the earth. They love the one who created the heavens and the earth. They love him, but they're not yet with him. From this arises their desire, a desire that is not satisfied immediately, and so it grows, so that it can hold as much as it desires. It will not be little what God will give to those who nurture such a desire. God will not give to his creatures anything less than himself, the creator of everything. Train yourself, therefore, to welcome God. Long from afar for the good that you are destined to possess forever. Let us not tire of giving praise to God. If you lack love, you lack praise. However, if love is eternal, because the beauty of God is inexhaustible, don't be afraid. You will be able to praise forever the one whom you can love forever. Long only for that day, which knows no beginning and no end, that unique day, that eternal day, not issuing from a yesterday and not leading into a tomorrow, may our desire be for that unique day.
It's quite beautiful.
It's beautiful. Augustine is full of beautiful stuff. Go to the library and get all his books and read them. You'd do better than many other books that people read. So let's look at the psalm now. Verse 1. What a delight your dwelling place is, Yahweh of hosts. With all that I am, I long, indeed, I faint for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even a sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her youngs at your altars. See, the people of Israel, they came there, and the women were allowed in the out. Don't worry about it, men are hopeless. One day we'll get it all together. But the women are out there in the outer court, and then the men are in the inner court, but then the priests are in the holy place, the sanctuary, and then only the high priest can go in. You know, I've got all this stuff. People seem to love it, and we've got to get rid of it all. And Jesus tried to get rid of it, and the church brought it all back in again. So we've got this thing, you know. And then you're down there, you're a woman, you're in the women's court, which is three or four stories out, and you see a little female sparrow goes right into the inner sanctuary. Now, if a female sparrow can go in, why can't I, says the women, and they're right. And don't you give up pressurizing the men to grow up and wake up and get himself together and stop all this theological hogwash. So here's a female sparrow chirping right in the middle of the thing where only the high priest is allowed to go. And that's what he's saying, isn't he? Look, even a sparrow finds a home, and the swallow's got a nest in there. Sex going on in the inner sanctuary. Well, seriously. This is being recorded, isn't it? And an egg, giving an eggs and things and all that happening in there. And we've got all these humans. Oh, no, no, we couldn't possibly do that. We normally all, no, blah, 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 blah. And the birds look down at us and think, these funny, bloody, stupid human beings, what's up with them? And then they go, and that's what he's saying. It's all there in a beautiful way. So God is welcoming this. God is much more welcoming than we silly human beings are. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Psalm 65, happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. That's just another psalm we've done already. Same idea, obviously. Psalm 91, we'll do soon. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shade of the Almighty, will say to Yahweh, my rock, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And our psalmist goes on, happy are those who draw their strength from you when they decide in their heart to make the pilgrimage. See, the Muslims are good at this, aren't they? The great pilgrimage is the Hajj. Okay, well, we can be too. The thing is, where do we go for our Hajj? I think the best place to go is to your local church, really, for your Hajj, and to the Eucharist, to communion. We simplify it all. That's the best place to go. Go to communion. And now he goes through, look at the steps, 1, 2, and 3 steps. As they go through the Baca Valley. Now, Baca, they're not exactly, it's a valley of trees that exude gum. There's a possible meaning of Baca, a symbol of passing through sorrow, perhaps. Anyhow, as they go through this valley, valley of tears, we say in the, what's that prayer we say there?
I just said, would it be gum or resin that they're exuding out of
it? I don't know. Is gum the same as resin?
Yes. It is. It's used, so it's not.
Okay. And anyhow, resin is probably a better word. It's exude this resin, but and it's perhaps a sign of symbol of. We talk about the valley of tears or the valley of whatever, valley of death. There we go. So this is a symbol of passing through sorrow, perhaps at another level. Anyhow, as they go through this valley, they make it a place of springs. The early rain covers it with pools. Secondly, they go from garrison to garrison, from protected place to protected place. The God of gods reveals himself in Zion. So they finally arrive at Zion, and that's where God reveals himself. The God of God reveals himself in Zion. So the journey reaches the goal in the temple of Jerusalem in union with God. Isaiah 35, they shall see the glory of Yahweh, the majesty of our God. Psalm 63, I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. So they arrive here at the temple. And the psalm, verse 8, goes on, Yahweh, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed, the king, presumably. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather come to 7 a.m. Mass on Friday morning in the cold than go to Las Vegas. For God, Yahweh, is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and glory. Nothing that is good does Yahweh withhold from those who walk uprightly. Yahweh of hosts, happy is the one who trusts in you. So I think that's a very simple psalm of joy at going into the temple, but at a deeper level, joy at being in communion with God.